This episode of the Gegenpressing Podcast is brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline continues to be your number one source for all your basketball wagering needs, including pro and college hoops throughout the year. With up-to-the-minute odds, stats, and trends, you can follow your favorite team's path to the playoffs with in-game live betting, contests, and all the best player props. Experience the world's best wagering platform anytime from your desktop or your mobile devices. Head to BetOnline today to become part of the team and remember to use the promo code Believe, that is B-L-E-A-V, Believe, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, the game starts here. Hello and welcome to Gegenpressing, the Bundesliga podcast. I'm Manu Feti, Stefan Bienkowski, and it's the end of the week for Stefan. Congrats. Well done. Well deserved. I know you had a big day at Transfermarkt today, so it is actually really well deserved. But before you go on your well-deserved holiday, a brief holiday, three-day weekend, I'm really glad to have caught you here for the Gegenpressing podcast, the previous show. So you must be absolutely ready to just have a couple of days off, Stefan.
Yeah, well, I've got a good friend's wedding on Saturday that we have to travel down to on the Friday. So yeah, I've also had holidays to take before the end of the financial year. So
yeah,
it kind of worked in my favor. So yeah, I will be trying to keep an eye on the German football this weekend, but I might have to do so with my phone kind of hidden under the table while I'm having dinner at this wedding or something, or just kind of checking the scores whenever I get a moment when I'm up at the bar getting around in or something. This is my week come to an end, thankfully. So yeah, it has been very busy. But how are you doing?
I'm doing good, but I have one question. Are you in the wedding party or are you just there?
No. I'm not part of the wedding party, no.
Oh, so that's always way easier.
Oh, God, yeah, absolutely. Although we are at a bit of a predicament in the sense that my wife just explained to me, my wife runs a jewelry store in the village where we live, and there's a florist next door, and they offered to make us both flower accompaniments, if you say the word, to our wedding outfits. So like she's made like this little kind of flower that kind of sits in my suit jacket at the lapel. And they've made my wife like more or less like, you know, like something, I'm sure a lot of our American listeners will know, like something that like a woman would wear to like a prom, like, yeah, you know, like they'd wrap around their wrist or something.
Is it?
And we've just kind of looked at them, we just kind of got them both, and they just made a kindness of the hearts, and we're not sure we can wear them because it really looks like something, at least in this part of the world, you would only wear if you were part of the bridal party, or in fact the bride and groom. So just if that's the kind of predicament we're in right now. But
the other question I have for you, here in Canada, anyone with an ounce of Scottish blood will wear a kilt to a wedding. Are you wearing a kilt to the wedding?
No, I never wear kilts to weddings. Only time I wear a kilt to the wedding is if it was my own wedding which wore a kilt, or if I am in the bridal party where all the groomsmen wear kilts. But yeah, I'm not a kilt guy. I've got a three-piece tweed suit, which also looks very Scottish, but and I'll be wearing that. But yeah, not a kilt.
It's gotten to a level here in Canada that every wedding I go to, someone will claim their distant Scottish relationship or inheritance or, you know, whatever you want to call it, and that I have started wearing my lederhosen to weddings here just to poke a little bit of fun of it. This is the kind of person you have to deal with, Stefan. I'm so petty that I make fun of, subtly make fun of Scottish people by wearing my lederhosen to weddings.
Well, I really like lederhosen. I think they're a great outfit.
I fully agree. If they're the full-on traditional ones, like not the cheap ones that like you see a lot of Americans and Australians wear at the Oktoberfest, then I'm fully on board. But, you know, they're the kind of piece, and I guess it's probably the same with kilts, that when it's a knockoff, it quickly shows.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. And that's the problem with a kilt. You can get cheap ones, but expensive ones cost thousands and thousands of pounds. And it's the kind of thing that, you know, you're meant to last you a lifetime, basically, but I've just not kind of got around to that point of wearing them. They're so heavy as well. I just don't find them very comfortable. That's what it kind of comes down to for me at the end of the day. I just don't find them comfortable to wear.
Yeah. No, I love my lederhosen, but as the kilt, very expensive. It was a birthday present for my dad, because I probably could not afford it. Anyways, let's talk about the actual football, or not traditional folk fest style outfits in our respective parts, or the respective parts of the world that we're from. Although folk fest style outfits would probably be fitting for this first match, which is Köln against Leipzig. Stefan, I don't think I have any good news for any Köln fans here. I think that Leipzig are going to win this match quite handily, 2-0, especially because they had the midweek off.
Yeah, I've gone for something similar, unfortunately, for Köln fans. I think they have, you know, managed to grind out decent results recently. You know, I did my manager power rankings article this week, and Schultz has, you know, really picked up quite a lot of points, actually, in the last kind of 7 or 8 games. So, you know, there are kind of clear signs that that managerial change has helped Köln. But it's more in the sense that, you know, they're picking up draws here or there. They're putting decent results. But in terms of actually picking up big wins against teams like this, it's not really likely. So, yeah, I've gone for a 2-1 win here for Leipzig.
Yeah, that's obviously really bad news for Köln, who would need every single point just to have even hopes of avoiding the relegation playoffs. I actually think, Stefan, at this point, they're playing for the relegation playoffs. Not because the gap is so big to a non-playoff spot.
Yeah, I'd say so. I just don't really see them catching Bochum at this point.
No, me neither. All right, up next is your match of the week, Union Berlin against Werder. So the floor is yours.
Yeah, two teams who really kind of bounced back after the new year. You know, I think we all kind of feared for the worst for Union, the way they started the season. But they changed their head coach as well, and they've more or less been doing quite well since then. Up until maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago, they drew 2-2 with Heidenheim, and then they've lost kind of back-to-back games against Dortmund and Stuttgart, which, you know, is absolutely fine if you're an Union Berlin fan, because you appreciate that these both teams are, you know, pushing for top four. Stuttgart in particular have been outstanding this season, so
yeah.
Not exactly, you know, ringing the alarm bells. Similarly, Werder Bremen really kind of turned things around recently. It looked like they might be able to kind of push for a European spot. But they've also kind of dropped points. In fact, both teams have picked up 2 defeats and a draw each in their last kind of 3 match days. And I think this game will be really interesting, because it'll be two teams who will be really hoping that they could use this fixture to kind of get back to winning ways. I think Union Berlin probably need 3 points more than Bremen, but there is only 5 points between these two teams. It really goes to show just how condensed that kind of bottom half of the table is. I think it's going to be a great game. I suspect they'll probably end in a draw, which I don't think suits either club particularly well. But yeah, that's what I think. So I've actually gone for a 2-2 draw, and I think this will be a really fun, interesting game.
That's hilarious, because as you were talking, that's my result as well. It was like he's going to go 4-2 draw here, which is my prediction as well. I actually think that Werder Bremen should have had a 2-2 draw last week against Dortmund. You know, I think they were very unfortunate to not get a point there. And I think that the result probably didn't reflect their actual performance. Union Berlin at home are always really good. So, you know, I expected goals, and B, I expect that those two teams can't be separated. And here we are, I have the same prediction as you do, a 2-2 draw. So, yeah, we'll see. All right. Well, up next is Wolfsburg against Augsburg, and I am reading your power ranking, which, by the way, I find excellent. Really intriguing, Stefan. A really intriguing way of looking at how coaches are performing in the Bundesliga. It's also produced a ton of interaction. My takeaway from it, though, was that Augsburg are going to beat Wolfsburg 2-0 based on how Hesse Torup has been doing there.
Yeah, and that's exactly what I've gone for, actually. I've gone for a 3-2 win for Augsburg. You know, as you said, yeah, Augsburg have definitely been kind of the most informed team since the kind of turn of the year. In the last 10 match days, they're 8th in the table. In the last 5 match days, they're actually 3rd in the table, picking some big wins up. And they've actually kind of maybe pushed on from the kind of typical Augsburg, who we kind of expect to, at this point of the season, just pick up enough points to kind of keep them at arm's length from relegation. But, you know, we've seen them beating Freiburg, we've seen them beating Darmstadt, we've seen them beating Heidenheim. You know, there's some decent teams in there, and of course, not that long ago they also drew with RB Leipzig. So they are picking up decent scalps recently. And you know, Wolfsburg are just kind of, they just can't seem to get anything going for them. I watched that game against Leverkusen last weekend, and they were decent for the first kind of 20 minutes, and then they get a man sent off, and it all just kind of falls apart. And the kind of talk of Niko Kovac getting sacked has kind of begun to resurface, understandably, since they're now only 7 points off that 16th place. And, you know, part of me kind of thinks Wolfsburg having put in decent performances, maybe the results don't reflect, but I just think this Augsburg side that just seem to be so full of confidence right now should have enough to beat them. So, yeah, I've gone for a 3-2 win.
Yeah. All right, so then up next is Mainz against Bochum. What do you think here?
I actually think there's going to be a draw.
Me too.
And I think hope is all but lost, really, for Mainz to stay up this season, to be perfectly honest with you. And, you know, I think that 8-1 defeat to Bayern just kind of showed how limited they have been. But they have been picking up kind of, you know, draws here and there. And I always say this because they routinely seem to burst back up. And every time I bet on a team to comfortably beat Mainz, they somehow manage to cause an upset. And I'm not suggesting they're going to cause an upset in this game, but I just look at that factor and the fact that Bochum are still so kind of hopeless on the road this season. They've only got 7 points from 12 games in away matches. You then compare that to their home form, which is 18 points. So, you know, Bochum are very much more comfortable at home. And I don't know, there's just something that makes me think Mainz may be able to claw a point from this game.
Yeah, I have the same. I went for a 1-1 draw. I think Bochum really have their home form to thank for where they are in the Bundesliga standings, right? And I actually think they too, if they get a draw here, they'd be quite happy with it, Stefan, because, you know, we're already predicting a Köln defeat to Leipzig, right? And if they can get, if they can essentially avoid Mainz gaining on them, that is a success. So, you know, I actually think that would actually really, 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 really suit them. So a 1-1 draw, I think, is the likeliest outcome here, or a draw, period. Okay, up next, Heidenheim against Gladbach. I watched the Gladbach defeat to Saarbrücken on Tuesday, and obviously my newsletter is on Saarbrücken and the beauty of the Pokal. You know this, Stefan. Everyone who reads my stuff knows that the DFB Pokal is perhaps even my favorite competition, just because of the story it provides every single year. It's not just this year. I mean, this year is extraordinary madness, but, you know, we see something like Saarbrücken every year, right? And it's a really, really good story. The flip side of it all is, though, that, oh dear, Gladbach, they do look like a team that, they have pulled themselves out a couple times of it, but I always have the sense that they look like a team on the collapse, on the brink of collapse. And I think they would be in a lot more trouble this year if the three teams in the relegation zone weren't worse than they are, or were better than they currently are. And with all that in mind, and of course Heidenheim is such an incredible story in itself too. As of today, they have a German national team player, right? Which is, you know, remember when it was such a good big story when they had a player called up to the US men's national team, Maloney, right, earlier this season, and now they got Beste called up, I think totally deserved based on his performances. You know, we finally have a national team that calls up players based on their performances, and Beste has been the best in his position in the Bundesliga for some time. And I think Heidenheim are going to win this game 2-1 at home. You know, I think that's just the way Gladbach have been playing. If Saarbrücken can beat them the way they've beaten them, Heidenheim will have a field day. So I think they're going to win this game 2-1.
Yeah, I've actually got the exact same prediction jotted down here. And yeah, I can only really add to what you've been saying. It's really interesting that these two clubs are actually only a point apart in the Bundesliga table, because obviously the narrative around them is so different.
Yeah.
But, you know, like I said a few weeks ago, Gladbach just have to make sure they avoid a drop. That's all they have to do this season, and then get to the end of the year and just kind of take stock of everything. And I think I'm just going to keep saying it till the end of the season, because that's really all they are in proper survival mode at this point. And I think this is the kind of pick fixture that they might look at and think, right, we have to prove a point. We have to prove to our fans that we're willing to kind of fight this season after that result. So there's potentially a chance of a kind of real kind of retribution here for Heidenheim if they're not careful, because I think Gladbach will be pumped up for this game. And if they're not, then there's maybe some real question marks to be asked of Gerard Osiona and his team. But I think it's going to be a very tight match, and I agree with you. I think on balance of things, I'd probably give Heidenheim a very narrow win.
Yeah, I mean, Heidenheim, again, they're the Saarbrücken of the Bundesliga. Let's put it that way. All right, not quite the Saarbrücken of the Bundesliga is this next team. That's Darmstadt facing Bayern. How many goals is Harry Kane scoring in this one, Stefan?
Well, I've gone for a 3-0 win for Bayern, and there's a good chance he might score all of them. So I'll say 3 goals for Harry Kane.
All right. I've gone for 5-0 for Bayern Munich, simply because we both predicted that Bayern would smash Mainz last week. And I still got a message from my dad. It's like, neither one of you predicted they would win 8-1. Sorry, Dad. But, you know, this game, too. I mean, this could be easily an 8-0 or 9-0 or whatever Bayern decide. But it could also be, who knows, maybe Darmstadt shock us and pull us up Brücken and beat Bayern, right? Like, we've seen crazier things this year. I don't think Darmstadt are going to win this, but I just expect a really heavy Bayern victory. I just jotted down 5-0 because I have to jot down something, but it could be also more. So that's all I'm saying. Please put a caveat on heavy Bayern Munich victories, because we just don't know if this team, this Bayern Munich side, is more than capable of scoring lots of goals, but also slipping up on any possible banana skin this season. So I'm just going to throw up my hands in the air, and that's all I'm going to say about this, Stefan.
I mean, yeah, the other thing is probably worth mentioning as well is that, like we just mentioned there, the Gladbach might kind of have a point to prove. There's a lot of German players in this Bayern team that might feel they have a point to prove after missing out on Julian Nagelsmann's squad. Yeah. I think Darmstadt might be in for some trouble here.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think Nagelsmann is tickling a few Bayern players to maybe do a little bit better. Very intriguing squad, by the way, I think, that he's called up and deservedly called up all these players. All right. Speaking of lots of German players being called up, Stefan, that's the next match. Stuttgart have called 4 of them, the most since 2004. Of course, that was the last golden generation of Stuttgart players, you know, around Hildebrand, Kurani, Philipp Lahm was in the squad, and the fourth guy is currently escaping me, but that's fine. It's not that important. What is important is I think that Stuttgart are going to beat Hoffenheim in this derby. And it is a derby, right? And I think it's going to be a tight match, but I do think that Stuttgart currently are, and I stand to this, I do actually think the way that they play football and the way that they have presented themselves in the Bundesliga throughout the entire year, they might be Germany's second best team at the moment. And I have them to win this game 2-1.
Yeah, I've gone for 3-1 for Stuttgart. I think, yeah, as you said, you know, Stuttgart have been fantastic this season. You just kind of have to look at the recent form. Even on the road, to be honest, one of the last 3 games on the road. And, you know, you look at this Hoffenheim side, and they're just so hot and cold at the moment. You know, they are 7th, and there's still maybe some hope that they can maybe catch Frankfurt under the right circumstances. But It just kind of feels like for every win against Dortmund, there's a defeat to Union Berlin or a draw to Cologne, you know, and they beat Werder Bremen only to then lose to Frankfurt. And I think if you then add in their kind of pretty terrible home form, to be honest with you, which so far stands at just 13 points from 12 games, which is the 4th worst in the division this season, then this looks like a game that's kind of lined up for Stuttgart to win. And I suspect they will. So yeah, I've gone for a 3-1 win for Stuttgart.
Yeah. So their form continues. Not gaining ground on Bayern Munich, we think, but inching closer to that Champions League spot. All right. Inching closer to the title. I guess they will. That's up next. Leverkusen against Freiburg. What do you think here? And yes, Freiburg are playing while we're recording this, and it's not looking good against West Ham.
Yes, it isn't. They're currently getting annihilated 3-0 by West Ham as we record this. And I suspect that Bayer Leverkusen won't be any easier. I think we'll see some heavy legs from Freiburg on Sunday night. And if they had any hope of challenging this game, I think a really grueling Europa League match will probably be the end of it. So yeah, I've gone for a pretty bog standard 2-0 win for Leverkusen here.
Although I have to add, the last time we recorded doing a Freiburg Europa League match as well, and it looked the same way, and they still went through.
Yeah, and of course, Leverkusen have their own Europa League game to play, which was before,
yeah.
which comes after we record this. So, you know, who knows what could happen in that Karabakh game.
But I think
Leverkusen should have enough.
Karabakh at home, their difficult match was last week when they had to go all the way to Azerbaijan. I've been to the Caucasus. It's a long trip. Coming back, going there and coming back is extremely hard. And having gotten that leg out of the way is, I think, a positive for them. Not having to go to, Freiburg had to go all the way to West Ham, right, and comes back. And I suspect actually that they're still going to make a game out of it today, no matter what the final result is. And that means that they're going to be extremely tired. And you need to be 100% to play against a team like Leverkusen. Like, they were 100% against Bayern when they took that result. I don't think we're going to see that here. And that's trouble, because I think that Javi Alonso's side might be the best in Europe. And so I think they're going to win this 2-0. All right. That's my final match, is actually the last one of the Bundesliga match day. Dortmund against Frankfurt. And this Dortmund side has been so infuriating, and they're usually very infuriating after they've played in Europe. They have been winless in their last five games after a European night, Stefan, Dortmund have, which kind of makes you wonder. And we spoke about them in great length during the midweek show, right? And we had Matt Ford on, who's obviously on there, and their result against PSV is great news for them. It's great news for the Bundesliga and all that sort of stuff. But the reality is also that they're always hung over when the actual bread and butter comes along, which is the Bundesliga this season. And mind you, too, they have to win in the Bundesliga to keep pesky Leipzig off. And I think Frankfurt are going to sneak a draw here, Stefan. I went for 1-1.
Yeah, do you know, I've actually had a Dortmund win written down, and I changed it before we started recording, because the more I thought about it, the more I thought, I completely agree with everything you're saying, really. You know, it was an interesting kind of reaction show, because Matt actually kind of disagreed with both of our opinions.
I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, and I mean, I do completely understand that you get different opinions and different perspectives, whether you're in the stadium or not. A lot of that can come down to simply being vibing with how the fans react to a large extent as well. And I just think, from a kind of neutral point of view, and maybe one that maybe my own point of view was actually recency bias, in the sense that Dortmund started the game well, but then by the end of the match, they were just so unconvincing. It just didn't fill me with any confidence, to be perfectly honest with you. And I am quite struck by the fact that actually Dortmund's home form used to be really impressive. I think last season they had one of the best home forms in a division, but this season the home form has really been quite poor, actually. Not entirely poor, but only 7 wins from 12 games. Obviously, that defeat to Hoffenheim is the last one that was played at the Westfalenstadion. And yeah, I completely agree with you. And I don't think this Frankfurt side have been outstanding by any means, but they've picked up 2 wins on the trot. In terms of their form away from home, it's not bad at all. And yeah, that's just something that makes me think that Frankfurt might fancy their chances in this game. They've only lost one of the last away games as well. So yeah, I think it might end a draw as well, which would be really fascinating, because it probably just about keeps Frankfurt in the race for fifth or even a fourth spot, I suppose.
Yeah, I guess it does. We haven't talked about Frankfurt in a while, right? And they're only 6 points behind Leipzig, and the 7 behind Dortmund. So I guess it would keep them 7 points behind Dortmund. We suspect that Leipzig are going to do the business against Köln, right? So that does set up a fascinating dynamic. Germany's chances are lower if Freiburg go out against West Ham, although Italy lost all their teams too. So both England and Germany could actually leapfrog Italy for that fifth spot. And who knows what's happened in this Freiburg game. They still look in it. So for some odd reason, they still do look in it. But You know, that race is so very fascinating. And, you know, on the flip side of that too, is that Frankfurt has now have put, might even put a further gap to them and Hoffenheim, right? And so we haven't, again, we haven't really talked about Frankfurt much this in the last little while, but they are in for another European qualification. How many years in a row is that now? Four or five? It's quite impressive, actually.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm just noting as well that if all the results that I put in this weekend come through, then Frankfurt are just 7 points behind Dortmund and 8 behind Leipzig. But Augsburg will actually pull into 7th place, which would actually be quite something as well.
And it's probably going to be enough for Europe. So
yeah, wouldn't that be something?
Well, we had one subscriber subscribe to this to the Substack simply because we have written an article about Augsburg once.
That's very true.
So here's to you. You might actually get European coverage on this newsletter next season. Yeah, that about does it. That's this week wrapped up, and we can release you to your much-deserved holiday, Stefan. Before we do that, though, as always, this show is brought to you by Bet Online in association with Get German Football News, who are super kind of posting the show every week on their site. So please go and check them out. Your newsletter is out, which is the Power Ranking. Fascinating read. Please check that out as well. Matt has his usual read on fan scene, and this week he focused on Stuttgart and their fight on 50+1. And he also wrote something on the Dortmund PSV game, which I thought was quite interesting. And it was interesting seeing his perspective from inside the stadium versus what we all experienced on television. So really good read if you haven't checked it out. I wrote on Saarbrücken, as I alluded to on the show, and this will be it for this week, but we'll be back next week with tons of more content. Until then, auf Wiedersehen.